Good evening. Good morning, wherever you are. Welcome to House Hebrew and Gospel Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host and your teacher for today. I'm the Sunday School teacher there at Antioch Baptist Church in Tunnel Springs, Alabama, 45 Church Street, Peterman, 36471. Our telephone number is 251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Our pastor is Reverend Waylon Oliver. Sister Joyce Oliver is our first lady. And our clerk is Miss Lisa Stallworth. We have Sunday school on every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. We have worship services on second Sunday, fourth Sunday, fifth Sunday, and 11 a.m. Again, we come to you by way of internet, and we hope that you are following our church and our sermon services every second, fourth, and fifth Sundays. This is the second Sunday coming up. We have Sunday school lesson every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Let us go to the throne. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We thank you, Jesus, for an opportunity, another opportunity to speak that word as God has given us to. We thank you, Jesus, for this church that's been on the hill for many years as a beacon calling to the members of this church to assemble themselves together as God has asked us. We will assemble ourselves today, Jesus, the second Sunday of June, at Antioch Baptist Church, where Reverend Oliver will bring the message. And for that, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, and we hope they are all being safe. We hope they are following directions when they go out, covering up their face and their nose and their mouth to help, God willing, to fight the COVID-19 virus that has been plaguing this nation and plaguing the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for all the deacons. Thank you for all of the people there at Antioch Baptist Church. Keep them safe, Jesus, as to be thy will. Be with us and guide us. These are many blessings we ask in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our lesson for June the 14th is Value Wisdom. We have usually used a regular Baptist Teacher's Guide, Faith Baptist Teacher's Guide, Leadership Soul for our Bible Study, published by the Sunday School Board. But we do not have that book as of yet. We hope that next week we will have that book to go back to our regular study Sunday School lesson. We talked last week also without that regular publishing book, but we should be able to have them in our hands by next week. Value Wisdom. Our devotional reading going to come from Proverbs, the second chapter, 12 through the 22nd verse. 12 through the 22nd verse. Our background scripture will come from Genesis 39 and Proverbs 2. We're going to read those two by way of introduction as a way of leading you to a better light of when we get to Proverbs 2, 1 through 11, which is the printed text for this day's lesson. The key verse, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2 and 6. Let us begin by way of introduction, devotional reading, Proverbs 2, verses 12 through 22. Verses 12 through 22. Let us begin. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from men that speak perverse things. We all know men that speak perverse things. Who leaves the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness In other words, they don't do right. They do what is wrong. They lie. They steal. They kill. They maim. They destroy. This is a person of an evil man who rejoice to do evil. They rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of the wicked. They delight in the things of what wicked people do. Whose ways are crooked. They are crooked. They are not faithful. They are not true. They are not direct. They are twisted and turned. Whose ways are crooked and they perverse in their path. Wherever way they go, it's a difficulty. It's something wrong. It's not right. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the foreigner who flattereth with her words. Oh, look at that. Deliver you from the strange woman. When you speak of deliver thee from the evil man, men and women, they are speaking of this, even though we have a gender of a female and a male, but when he said men, he's speaking of both at the same time. It could be women doing that too. Who forsaketh, this is verse 17, who forsaketh the God of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Oh, remember what you, how your mom taught you how to do things, how your dad taught you how to do things. In other words, these perverse people don't follow from what they were taught as a child and what their moms and their dads and their grandmamas taught them. They go a whole new route, an evil route, all right? Who forsaketh the God of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her path unto the dead. The wedges of sin is death. This is what they're saying. They lead a sinful path, a sinful life. None that go unto her returns again, neither take they hold of the path of life. Those that go that direction do not return. All right. Verse number 20, and it says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the path of the righteousness. All right, that's the way he wants you to go. That's the way he wishes us all to go. God is that all of us be saved, but some of us will not be saved. Some of us are going to hell. Some of us will be going to heaven. It is God's will, God's hope that we all be saved. All right, verse number 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land of the perfect, shall remain in it. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. All right, that's devotion reading. All right, let's go to background scripture. This will be Genesis 39. Genesis 39. As we turn, Genesis 39, and it reads, And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of Egypt, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptians. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass at the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew that not anything he had save the food which he did eat, and Joseph was a handsome person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master, wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and in sin against God? Joseph is telling his wife all that the master has given him. Master, you let him do whatever he wants to, and he has kept back. He kept back nothing from me, and the only thing he's kept back from me is you, his wife. All right, and he says, how can he do that? They were saying, how can he go against his master and do what his wife wanted to do? That means go to bed and sleep with him. We know what that means. And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And in other words, she kept after him over and over again, over and over again. How many men can resist that temptation of a woman keep coming after you? How many women are you that will know that a man is married, not married, is trying to be faithful and do what is right, and you keep coming after that, whether you single or whether you married? How many women do that? Okay. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his work, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. In other words, there came a time when nobody was around, nobody but Joseph and his master's wife. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garments in her hand and fled and got out. In other words, she tried to seduce him, or whatever you want to call the word, but she wanted to go with him. So he just, when she grabbed his clothes, he just come out of his clothes and ran. Okay? Joseph falsely accused. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spoken to them, saying, see, he had brought me in Hebrew. See, he had brought in Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. She's lying, okay? And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got out. She's lying. Verse 16, and she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home, until the master came home. And she spoke unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant whom thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. All right, she's lying, absolutely lying. Joseph ain't did nothing. Joseph is a Hebrew. Hebrew, you know who Hebrews are. Dark-skinned people, Hebrews, all right. Here we go. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled. She's lying to her master, her husband. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, and that his wrath was kindled. And her husband got mad. All right? That's Joseph's master. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Bound him and put him in shackles and put him in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did, there he was the doer of it. Look how God works. Somebody accuse you and do you wrong and put you in jail, God's still going to be with you. God's still going to bless you. That's the thing about now what's going on in this country. Stay with God. Do what is right, no matter how bad it is. One of the things that some of us are getting for, and I may be guilty of that, you may be guilty of it, condemning and saying things. God hear all those things. Do what is right. Continue to pray for people. Continue to pray for the president and all of his men. Continue to pray for the leadership of all that are above you. That's God will take care of the rest. It is God's business to seek revenge and to take care of people that do wrong. It's not your place because you do not have the capacity to do it. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Verse number 23, the last verse. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, man. That's Genesis 39, by way of background for today's lesson. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. All right. Proverbs 2. All right. As we turn the pages, we thank you all for being with us today as we do today's Sunday school lesson. Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, and it reads, wisdom deliver from evil. See how it's delivering Joseph? Wisdom delivers from evil. All right, when you're with God and you stay with God, God will deliver you. How about that? God will deliver you. No matter what the situation is, you're with God. I don't care what man do to you, God will deliver you. All right, wisdom delivers from evil. My son, if thou would receive any words and lay up my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. This is wisdom talking to you now. Then you know how you go and what you do. If you try to seek it and find it, you will find it. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, talking wisdom talking to you now, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What is the beginning of wisdom? The first thing is the fear of the Lord, okay? Let's go to verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That is our key verse. That's Proverbs 2 and 6. Okay, here we go. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Hey, when you do right, God will shield you from the things that are hurt and harm and danger. He doesn't say everything will be on the flowery beds of Eden. You may have a few troubles, but God got you. God's going to take care of you. All right, so stay with God. All right, keep walking upright. He keepeth the path of justice and preserveth the way of his saint. Justice, what's justice? Everybody's crying for justice now. Justice, crying for justice for the persons of dark skin color being killed by police. Police under circumstances has the power of life and death in their hand by the way of gun, and very little. Sometimes policemen don't use that power in the right way. They got a way of when to use and use that gun to kill somebody or whatever way that they use to defend themselves. It's only when their life is threatened, or somebody else's life is threatened, okay? That's when you shoot to kill, okay? You don't shoot nobody that's running away from you. You don't shoot nobody that has already given up and said, yeah, my hand's up, or put their hand behind their back, or when they tell them to lay down, put your hand behind their back, and you done did those things. Police not supposed to shoot you then, okay? Because you done started to obey them and do what they said do, and you've given up. But sometime here lately, they still continue to use deadly force and kill you. So that's a little on what's taking place today. He keepeth the path of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. Guess what? And when you're with God, he won't get you in them situations. He'll have you and you'll know what to do and how to get out of them situations. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and justice and equity and for you, and yea, every good path. No, stay with God. He'll show you the way to go. He'll show you what to do. Verse 10. When wisdom enters into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Oh, look at that. When wisdom enters into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, it's good for you. It is absolutely good for you. Verse number 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. In other words, you'll know what to do. Discretion, you know what to go right, whether to go left, whether to go up, whether to go down, whether to whatever. He'll show you what to do. And understanding, you'll understand it. You'll understand it and you'll know what to do. He'll keep you. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from men that speak perverse things. We are repeating what some of these things are saying now. But here we go. Who leads the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are perverse in their path. You know, God, if you got wisdom, God's going to keep you from all of this. To deliver thee from these people that do these things, the stranger who flatters her with her mouth, the woman who forsaketh the God of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her. God's going to keep you from all of this. 18, for her house inclined unto death and her path unto the dead. None of that go unto her return, neither take thee the whole of her path. Don't go that way, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the that of righteousness. God's wisdom going to show you the right way to go. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall be remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. All right. That is the background scripture, Genesis 39 and Proverbs 2. And our lesson is Proverbs 2 through 11. We have read the lesson already, but we're going to go ahead and give some things about the lesson. The lesson named after participating in this lesson, each learner will be able to state promises and blessings associated with godly wisdom. We know what those are. Things will be good for you. Things will be well for you. He'll keep you away from harm. He'll show you how to get in and out of things when you get in trouble. Compare and contrast use of the words wisdom, knowledge, understanding, treasure. They are valuable. Wisdom. Get wisdom. Of all the things that you get an understanding. Knowledge. Remember, knowledge is the key to doing some things. Sometimes you get into a situation, you don't know what to do. Knowledge will help you out. If you already know what to do, God has given you the knowledge to understand it. Treasure is valuable. Discretion is to show you. Sometimes people don't have no discretion. You know what I'm saying? Discretion is a choice whether to go up or to run, but it's to just make a decision about something. Some people have no discretion. Some people can say, you want to say things anyway, say something, some kind of, anyway, no matter what the situation is. Some people won't have no discretion of what to say and how to do and how to act, okay? Begin keeping a journal of occasions when godly wisdom has preserved him or her. You could begin to keep a journal when God has kept you in situation and you was in danger, okay? All right, introduction. A more valuable than gold. Swimmer Michael Phelps electrified the sports world when he won a record 8 gold medals at the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics. But he had made a different kind of impact in the 2004 game in Athens in Greece. Dale Phelps, who had earned a spot in the 4x100-meter relay, decided to give up his spot to Ian Crocker. Crocker was a swimmer in what he thought was his final Olympic, and he had yet to earn a gold thus far in Athens. The American team won the relay, and Crocker received the gold medal that had eluded him. Phelps gestured, withdrawing from the race for the sake of his teammates, identified him as a gold medalist in more than swimming. It made him a champion of a different kind in the eyes of many. Olympic athletes are known for their highly disciplined training in pursuit of world-class excellence and winning the gold medal that distinguish them as the best. In today's scripture, Solomon encouraged his sons and all readers of his word to pursue something far more valuable than the precious metal. All right. That's in context. Proverbs often used a form of Hebrew poetry called parallelism. This is where two or more lines in text make the same point by using synonyms or near synonyms. For example, Solomon says of wisdom in Proverbs 3:7, "And her ways are all her paths are, ways of pleasantness and peace." All right. In other words, all of the wisdom ways are the same as her path, and the pleasantness of those are peaceful. The effects of this literary technique is emphasized at the point being made. Parallelism occurs frequently in today's lesson. Today's lesson continued to appeal from the Father of the Son, Proverbs 1:8, 10, and 15. Proverbs 1:8, 10, and 15. Proverbs 1:8, 10, and 15. Proverbs 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And guess what 10 says? It says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Guess what? A lot of folks that's in these riots and stuff going on, somebody's trying to entice them to do that. You don't have to go along with it. And guess what 15 says? 15 says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them that frame thy foot from their path." You know, don't go with them. Don't let them sucker you in, okay? Stay right. Do what is right. The thought that the son could find other enticement treasures to seek. Now, this could be a male or a female. Even though they say son, this could be a woman. This could be a daughter. You know, sin, the devil, he ticed and tried to get everybody. The father impressed on the young man that the superior art of finding wisdom. Now, wisdom is to know not to do that. Earthly fathers, please, search for wisdom. Verses 1 through 4. Here we go with today's lesson. Verses 1 through 4. Here we go. "My son, if thou would receive my word," the father offers a condition invitation. If the son will accept his father's word, with a certain reward will follow. Commentary on Proverbs 2:5 below. The second clause is below, clearing that what it means to receive these words. If the son would not listen to his father, he cannot expect to receive these blessings. Okay? If you don't want to receive God's words, you don't expect no blessing. If you want to reject what God say about how you should behave and what you do and how you should live your life, you will reap the dangers and the death of as a reward, because the wages of sin is death. All right? "Abide by commandments." Do what he's telling you. Do what he says. "Sometimes we hide objects to protect them from being used or harmed. The hiding of scripture is the purpose of having these items available to use whenever needed to provide the wisdom that only God can supply and compare." Psalms 119:11. Hiding the father's commandment will ensure that the son can refer to them at any time to find his way in any situation. In other words, when he said hide him in your heart. Keep him in your heart. Some things to do. All right? Sometimes you get in a situation and God has showed you how to behave. You keep that as a hidden something in your heart. And when that situation arrives, you know exactly what to do. You know exactly how to get around that or get out of that situation. All right? Discernment and having discretion is what it is. "So thou incline thy ear unto wisdom." Listen to wisdom, okay? The thought begins in Proverbs 2:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, all right? To pray, okay? To incline thy ear, an image of activity listening to whoever is speaking. Proverbs 4:20. 5:1-13. In other scriptures, the same Hebrew word is used to ask the Lord to attend to the prayers, pray in person. Example, in Psalm 17:1. All right, other passages tell how God's people fail to hear, okay? That his teaching and that the reason come under his judgment of examples in Zechariah 1:4. Here the Son is encouraging to listen closely. Do that, he will miss nothing, so that he won't miss anything that wisdom has to say. Listen closely, all right. Proverbs 9:10 teaches that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Oh, fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. All right. Does this mean that the wisest person is the one who cowers most in terror before God? Not exactly. It means that the wise person is the one who respects God to the point of obedience. We are on the path of wisdom. We are on the path of wisdom when we hear it and heed God's direction. This is the path that Solomon desperately wants his hearers to find and follow. All right, 2b, and apply thine heart to understanding. Apply your heart to understanding. Remember the things of all that things that you get when you're in a situation and you're talking and being instructed, get an understanding. All right? In other words, you know. You clearly know what way to get. Sometimes they say when you give them direction and you don't know whether to go right, left, up, front, or back, or what to do, you don't have an understanding. But get an understanding and you'll know which direction to go, which one is the best way to go. Becoming wise involves more than just one's ears. The heart must be included as well. Let's listen to that real closely. Let's drive that point on. What's in a man's heart is going to come out. The heart, a lot of times we see things with just our eyes. A lot of things we hear things just with our ears. But you got to be able to see and hear with your heart. Okay? Heart with true wisdom and directions and guidance. Get it in your heart. Okay? If you want to do right, have it in your heart. Okay? Not just in your eyes and in your mouth and what you say, but in your heart, you'll actually do it. Okay? Heart describes our abilities to reason, think, and consider spiritual matters. Example, the stubbornness of Pharaoh in Exodus. Remember how God had told him to let the children of Israel go, and God, Pharaoh got stubborn, and whenever he wouldn't let God's people go, and that's why the plagues came up on Pharaoh and his people, because they wouldn't do what, and they got stubborn. They said they're going to do it, going to let them go, but then they changed their mind, okay? Think and consider scripture matters. Example, the stubbornness of Pharaoh in Exodus 7:13-18:15. Each person must keep his or her heart with all diligence. I once told a friend that I worked there with down there in Hoban to keep his heart covered and guided, because Satan will sneak in on you if you don't be watchful. Each person must keep his or her heart with diligence. In other words, faithfully watching over it. Proverbs 4:23. Both wisdom and understanding have decorated, been cited as part of the purpose for which the Proverbs has been compiled. All right. What do you think? How do we go about being more receptive to wisdom? Digging deeper. How do texts such as Acts 17:8 and 1 Corinthians 1:20 and Colossians caution and challenge you in this regard? Oh, don't just take things for on the surface. You understand it. Dig in it. That's where the word understanding and knowledge and discretion. Dig into things. Make sure you know what it says. Say, for instance, just like this word that they're talking about, not defunding police power. That could mean taking all money away from police. That could mean taking part of the money from them. Understand what it means when they're talking about defund. They are talking about diverting some sources that goes to police for other things, but other people can do it. So far as a psychiatrist to understand things, police need to be have a good mind, a psychiatrist, saying how things go. But sometimes policemen are not psychiatrists. You need a real psychiatrist or whatever. You may need somebody to help with whatever medical situation. Police know how to do something, but police are not a doctor. You see what I'm saying? All right, he's a peacekeeper, okay? All right. Yea, thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understand. Cry out for it. This son is now challenging to engage his voice to the pursuit of knowledge and understanding. His crying out would represent an intensifying search. The son is to be consumed with a desire for wisdom. In other words, seek it. Go after it. You know what I'm saying? Again, Solomon used a couple of vivid metaphors to describe the necessary request for understanding. We are to follow for it. We are to bellow for it, holler out for it, raising our voice, clamoring for it. Previously, wisdom was pictured as crying out in the public arena. Proverbs 1:20-23. She longs to be heard. She is looking for those who are desperate to follow her. Compare James 1:5. None. Now it is we who are to call out to her. In other words, seek wisdom. Seek it. If thou seekest her as a silver and searchest for her as fine hid treasure. To illustrate her passionate for his son desire, the wisdom must become a comparison is introduced. He must become as earnest in his quest for wisdom as many as are the material wealth of silver hidden treasures. Compare Matthew 13:44-46. Indeed, the drive for material wealth often drains the desire for wisdom. Jesus warns us to beware of covetousness. That's what it means. Somebody else got something, you want it, okay? Luke 12:15. Let's continue. And tells a parable, illustrates how the obsession with material wealth and success can blind us to the things of God. People trust in the uncertain riches when their trust should be in God. He is the source of wealth that riches cannot provide, but only through wisdom. God can provide that wisdom. Riches can provide it. God can provide that wisdom. Okay. Job used a similar comparison when he describes man's quest for wisdom. The chapter concludes that with a declaration that echoes Solomon's word, behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to be depart from evil is understanding. Alright? We also go on a treasure hunt for wisdom, seeking and searching. Wisdom is available, but must be sought. We are not born wise. Wisdom is not intuited. In fact, the wisdom of God is something counterintuitive because it goes against our impulse of self-preservation, self-importance, and greed. All right? Find wisdom. Thou shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. They even fear the conclusion known the word then to the previous four verses. There, the interest is obtaining from wisdom and described with wisdom increasing desire. If the son were to dedicate himself fully in the search for wisdom, he will come to understand the fear of the Lord. You got to diligently seek out to it. Thou shalt not, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. Okay? By seeking wisdom. You understand the fear of the Lord. It bears nothing that this is the third time the phrase fear of the Lord has been used in the first two chapters of Pharaoh. In the first period in the opening verse of the book, introducing the reader to the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. The second time is when wisdom herself cries out and urges passers-by to heed her voice and not be among those who reject the fear of the Lord. Okay? Find the knowledge of God. Having understanding the fear of the Lord, the son will deliver the key to knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. Wisdom and knowledge are not, biblically speaking, found through mastery of a body of facts or idea. They are found in a relationship. In a relationship. We say that again. They are found in relationship with the Lord that acknowledge him as his their source. Neither wisdom nor knowledge is an end in itself. The Lord himself is the end of the quest. Okay? In another sense, however the quest has often begun, there are ways, new adventures, and insights to receive as one's learning to trust the Lord with all one's heart and knowledge in him and in all one's ways. Proverbs 3:5-6. Whenever you're going to do something, get some understanding. Seek God first. And all the things that you're seeking to come to pass. Okay? Such a discovery as this may seem foolish and hardly worth the effort in the eyes of the world. Secular culture fails to consider God and all when they're searching for the source of wisdom. Like what's going on with police and police killing black folk. The wisdom of God will show you what that is. He'll tell you. Perhaps there's no love in their heart for their brother and sister, whether it's male or female. Perhaps they hid in their heart they're evil. They want to do harm to people. Perhaps they may be racist. Whatever it is. Perhaps they're scared on the job. And they're fearful of some people. So the first thing they do, they go shoot them because they're scared for their own life. Get some wisdom. Get some under wisdom to understand why police keep killing black folks with the gun. Or why folks kill. There's another thing, black folks killing each other. I mean, they're killing each other on an untold number. Why is that? Get some understanding why they. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And what are we doing? We killing each other. Whites killing each other. Blacks killing each other. All races of humanity killing each other. There's only two types of people in the world. Remember that. Now, Jews and Gentiles. Some are doing wrong. Some are doing right. But one of the things God says, thou shalt not kill. Okay? Such a discovery is that men that may seem foolish and hardly worth an effort in the eyes of the world. Okay? But God's wisdom has always been scorned by the unbelievers in the world. Okay? The truth adds to the wonder of gospel message, particularly as seen in the cross of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:18-31. He said, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Alright? That is a passage which God said when they was crucifying him. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Alright. Heavenly Father's words. Verse number 6. The source of wisdom. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. In his words. In God's Bible. In the words. God made flesh through the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made flesh through the words of God, the Bible. He left it right there in front of you. We read from it now. Get some understanding from the Heavenly Father. It's right in front of you. The Bible, the words in which we're reading now. God's wisdom results in fulfillment by leading people to develop the qualities emphasized as being necessary for a good life. Knowledge and understanding. The things that are necessary for a good life. All right? Signifying far more than intellectual prowess. See commentary of Proverbs 2 and above. All right? Intellectually. Apart from God, these often used for words. People sometimes know so many scriptures. Can they can do this and they can do that? But what is in their heart? Can they actually, are they living it? Okay? Be wise in knowledge. Both knowledge and understanding have to do with learning God's character and recognize what he desires. Discernment, discretion, knowing what to do, how God wants you to behave. A reference to the mouth of the Lord highlights his spoken and written words. He is the source of wisdom. Psalms 119:17. All right, similar comparison. God's inspiring our scripture too. 2 Timothy 3:6-17. Give them authority that mere human writing on their own cannot achieve, no matter how wise. Ooh. We can write down things and say things. You, one of the places you can remember, look at Facebook. All those things folk will be saying. I be saying, different folk be saying. Oh, get some wisdom. Get some understanding. Okay? Don't follow everything they say on Facebook. Jesus counted one of the devil's temptation with the word, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Certainly we need physical substance, but without knowledge from God, we are spiritually starving to death. Okay? All right? Protection for the wise. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. All right? Protection. All right? The idea of laying up and may bring to mind Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount about laying up treasures in heaven, Matthew 6:20, whereas Jesus will call his disciples to lay up for themselves. Here the Lord himself is one who lays up sound wisdom and treasures for the righteous. Compare Psalms 84:11. There are riches that can draw from in age and stage of life, one never outgrows the need for the Lord's wisdom. But a person must be willing to admit that need they need and express humble dependence on what the Lord has provided in His Word. He is a buckler to them that walk upright. In other words, sometimes the weight of the world is heavy. And God, the situation going through is heavy. But God has a way of helping you bear them things up. I often say, bear me up. In other words, lift me up. Give me strength to deal with what I got to deal with, okay? A buckler is a shield. It's a, for example, Genesis 15 and 1. It is usually buckled around the arms of a soldier to provide a mean defense against a sword, a spear, or an arrow. The soldier is able to use his free hand to carry his own weapon into battle. The Hebrew word translated upright maybe is a noun form be rendered integrity. Example, 1 Kings 9 and 4. Such as a person is not half-hearted or superficial regarding devotion to wisdom. The individual has set foot on a path which he or she does not intend to deviate. See Proverbs 4:25-27. A buckler is the strength and the power of God's words and understanding of God's word. God's word, knowing God and wisdom and things will give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And have you had them treasures stored up and hidden in your heart of what to do when situations come. And if the buckler is also discretion. Sometimes you don't know where to go, right or left. All right, you know what to do. Sometimes when you're in the church, you ain't got a supposed to come to church with half naked. That's some kind of discretion. That sometimes there's a place where you do need to be naked. But then in the church is not one of them places. All right? He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. He's talking about God, okay? To keep this context means that the Lord watches over the path of judgment. The word judgment refers to God's righteous standards. In the other language of the King James Version, judgment is often equivalent to our modern word justice. That is in the case here. They're crying for justice all around us nowadays. The Lord never abandons the way of the saints. He guides and keeps them in his care in every circumstance. Numerous assurances provide strength and endurance to God's people who suffer because of the brokenness of the word. All right? The word saints is often associated with holiness, of being set apart in some way. That's what we should be, saints, because we are Christian. We do like Jesus Christ. We do what's right. We don't follow the path of the wicked one, okay? The word saints often associated with holiness. He signifies those who are distinguished by their commitment to live by the wisdom that comes from the Lord. Compared. All right? 1 Peter 4:19. All right? Let's go. Information that protects. Information that protects. All right. Some information is essential for large groups of people to know, but how does one get them to listen? British actor, producer Richard Massinger offered one solution. So many people hollered and talking to President Donald Trump. Sometimes he's not listening. A lot of times he's not listening. Same thing with you. When your mom and dad is listening to you, telling you what to do and what not to do. Remember when my father told us to come in at a certain time of hour and Freda would come in late? I wasn't listening. Okay? That led to the punishment that my father would dish out. It says when he said, I know who that is. He knew it was Freda that's coming in late. And I'll deal with it. All right? But if Fred had to listen, you wouldn't have to be put in that situation of getting punishment or being disobedient. Okay, let's move on. Preservation and wisdom. This is 9 through 11. Okay? We're coming down to the end of the lesson. Okay? This is 9 through 11. Okay? Preservation and wisdom. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. As an angel of the Father, the Lord directs and sees his help in life, he or she gains experiential understanding of the qualities of the Lord. All right? In a view of good, righteousness, judgment, equity, all these three recall the stand purpose for the book, Proverbs 1 and 3. Lesson 1, understanding that these three allows the people people to pursue right and just relationship. Deuteronomy 1 and 16. Such a path is far different from the one that sinners entice people to travel, which the Son has already been warned about not to take. In the riot, somebody's trying to entice them. But if you have the wisdom and the righteousness and the judgment and the equity of Christ, you won't go down that path, okay? When wisdom entered into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Heart and soul are difficult to distinguish in terms of what they specifically designate. In this poetic verse, they are intended to be parallel terms, see lesson, context. You know what I'm saying? The differences between the terms are less important than the similarity. Both refer to the inner person, to his or her motivation. Heart and soul, okay? Heart is embedded in it. Soul is what God gives you, okay? Those two together. What a powerful combination to have God's wisdom and knowledge in. Wisdom and knowledge must be internalized to the point that they impact the spiritual makeup of the individual. It's got to be inside of you. You hear people say, what's in them always going to come out. If righteousness is embedded in you, it's going to come out. If goodness is in you, come out. If evil is embedded in you, it's coming out. You know what I'm saying? If sin is embedded in you, it's coming out. Okay? Must be internalized to the point that they impact the spiritual makeup of an individual. Accepting biblical wisdom is not solely a mental exercise. Though the heart and scripture is associated with the mind, a proof is noted in Proverbs 2 and 2. All right? Let us go. Continue. This is the final verse. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. It's going to preserve thee. It's going to keep you safe. Look at that. Understanding shall keep thee. All right? In dangerous situation, oh man, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. The promise of preserving and keeping the person who lives a godly wisdom used the same verb to describe God's keeping and protecting his saints. Proverbs 2 and 8. Proverbs 2 and 8. He keepeth the path of justice and preserves the way of the saint. Look at that. All right, the father will find nothing more satisfying personally than to see his son walking away that marks him as one of those saints. Okay, Proverbs 2:12 and 22, not in our printed text though, continues the father's description of the benefits of wisdom, especially in keeping the son from two individuals, particularly one of the evil man pathways traveled the opposite direction from the way of the wisdom man, wise man. The other is the strange woman. Strange woman, talking about harlots and prostitutes, people that women that do evil, that lead you to destruction, whose words are seductive and flattering, but their path leads to certain death, 2:16 and 19. Two chapters conclude with others appear to the son to walk in the way of good men, keep the path of righteousness, 2 and 20, and with a contrast between the upright and the wicked. Oh, there's a difference in them, okay? All right. Across cultures, one fact remains we all need to eat, but food begins to spoil as soon as it's harvested. For that reason, throughout many history, people have developed several methods of food preservation. Exactly what methods were adopted originally vary according to climate. For instance, in cold climate, keep food on ice was convenient. Freezing impedes the growth of bacteria that spoils its harvest. Cool temperatures above freezing slow decay to cellars, caves, and cool streams were used for preservation, all right? In a cool place, in the water, in the cold water, all right? In tropical areas, drying was the perfect preservation method. The sun and wind would dry food naturally. Evidence shows that the Eastern culture prefers fish, wild game, and other meats in that way. I had the opportunity to make grapes, grapes into raisins right here at the house. Some of them big old grapes you buy at Walmart, all you do is put them outside in a pan and shield it on something so that they won't get soil or whatever one of the ants get on them, and they'll be at a while the sun will dry them up and they shrink up. They'll be just beautiful sweet grapes, sweet raisins, that's what we call them. These and other preserving techniques are still used today. Fermentation, pickling, canning and more allow food to preserve for our later consumption. Just like I was telling my sister the other day, the excessive stuff in the food that that we're not delivering to families, preserve it, keep it, put it in the freezer, something, harvest it and put it up. Keep it for another day. Solomon spoke of wisdom as the ultimate method for guarding freshness and preserving usefulness of spiritual food. Oh, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Solomon explained how God gives wisdom, preserves us for his purpose. How do you experience God's preservation in the goods in your life? All right, coming down to the conclusion. Here we go. The challenge today's text finds wisdom is expressed in terms of intense search, not just a casual or passing interest. One must cry out for knowledge and lift up their voice for understanding and not whisper. One must be passionate about wisdom, as many are for material wealth. An individual must seek the Almighty himself and not the Almighty dollar. Look at that. Seek God and not the dollar. How about that? For some, however, seeking spirit, the passion for wisdom and for God who is source, diminishes with time. In the wisdom world, especially in the Western world, especially, we settle into routine, the expectation at church and in our faith. Some things are just, remember, this is a tradition. You just get all locked into something that is worthless. Get it locked into something that is priceless, which is wisdom and understanding God. We become comfortable in where we are spiritually. We lose the hunger and thirst for righteousness. We lose it, Matthew 5 and 6. We may not be guilty of any blatant wrongdoing against God or against others, but neither do we maintain our sense of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things be added unto you. Our cry for wisdom is reduced to a whisper. Ultimately, addressing this matter requires that we undergo a serious self-examination. This is particularly so with regards to our relationship with God. Since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1 and 7, then maintaining a strong bond with the Lord and reverence for him is pivotal to sustaining passion and growth. The spiritual decline of prayer, Bible study, and meaningful fellowship with other Christians, they are not be neglected. Hebrews 10:20, he said, fear not to assemble yourselves together. We're still assembling ourselves together, even though we are in cars and in a parking lot. But guess what? There are two or three in the car, and that's somebody that's in the car, you're still assembling yourselves together and seeking wisdom and understanding. Our lesson context also highlights the necessary for a human teacher to convey to students the value of wisdom, thus the knowledge of the Lord. We hope we have been able to do that today. True reading, insightful work can be of great benefit, but nothing teaches wisdom better than a consistent personal example. Remember, be persistent, keep going at it, keep hollering for it, keep searching for it. All right, the best personal example is the one that person sees daily in the home setting. Both mother and father urge the children to receive their words and take to heart their commandments, Proverbs 1 and 8, so that wisdom and understanding can be there. In other words, listen to mom and dad. All right, the responsibility then falls to the children to continue to cultivate their own desire for wisdom. They must cry for it with their raised voice. They must look for it through seeking hidden treasures. The parents can model wisdom as they encourage their children to seek it, but each individual must be seeking personally. The parents can put wisdom into a child's head, but the journey and those few inches from head to heart is the task of the growing child. Oh, how about that? From head to heart. Look at that. Our closing prayer. Father, in a world where so many mock and scorn you and your word, you are still the only wise God. May we keep our thoughts, words, and deeds in tune with your wisdom and not allow many distractions around us to quell our seeking spirit. May we pant and thirst for you, even as the psalmist did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's wisdom never depreciates in value. All right. We thank you all for being with us today. And we will see you next time in the Sunday school lesson. Receive wisdom and gifts. That's the lesson for June the 21st. Devotional reading going to come from Job 28, chapter verses 12 through 28. The background scripture of Job 1, through 42 in Proverbs 8. The lesson printed text, it will come Proverbs 8 through 14, 17 and 21. Until next time, we see you next week on the Sunday School Lesson with Freddie Howard here on House of Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Take care now. See you next time.